Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the NXT 2.0 preview. I'm Michael Sidgwick, joined by Andy H. Murray to discuss everything that's in store for us on tonight's NXT 2.0. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. The daily wrestling podcasts we preview and review NXT 2.0, Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have wrestling interviews, we host roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. Murray,
yo,
we should have
what up?
we're going to try and do something with the tone and enthusiasm of this podcast, but ultimately it's a show that isn't very good. It is a show that in all likelihood does not warrant 20 minutes of our time, but we'll try and make it funny and or scathing and or something. You're an ardent watcher.
Yes, I am. It's the 2 hours I spend to fulfill my job every week.
Same here. So I'll pad this out with some talk of my holiday on Crete.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's do it. There you go.
From which I've returned with a tan.
Tell me about these cocktails. What's your favorite cocktail that you drank in Greece?
Oh, my God. There's one called Speedy Gonzales.
Oh, boy.
So basically, we did an all-inclusive gimmick for a fortnight.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, there's only like, it's like 3 or 4 restaurants on site. So you want to get out and you want to see things anyway. So the deal was, it was all inclusive and you could just order as many cocktails as you like throughout the day. And they were okay. Like, it's great when you're in the sun. Like, the drink is different in the sun. Yes. I don't really feel hungover the next day. I don't feel like too completely drunk. It's just a nice maintaining a buzz throughout. So the best cocktail they conjured was a Mai Tai. It was the best one there. Mm-hmm. They do a margarita, but when you're an expert craftsman at your own cocktail, I can't even go to a pub for a margarita, just you've perfected your own recipe.
It's like me buying haggis from the supermarket.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You just would not bother. You would not bother at all. So I tried it, thinking maybe one of these places can get it right. They didn't get it right, but it was fine. A Mai Tai... it's just delicious, refreshing, just enough of that refreshment slash, oh, I can really feel that liquor here. I just love the taste of hard liquor on my lips, like. So you have that balance of refreshment. Oh, my God, the liquor and the buzz I'm getting from this immediate hit of liquor is really great. So
that 10 a.m.
That was perfect. Yeah. I think the earliest I went for a cocktail was about 10:30, 11.
I respect it. You're on vacation. You got to do it.
It's different
it's free
rules.
As well.
It's free. Like, we paid loads for it out the ass months ago. But it feels free. You're not actually handing over cash. And you've already accounted for it in the budget, so you absolutely do it. So the earliest cocktails were about 10:30, 11, that kind of region. Quick morning dip in the pool. Who's going on the cocktail run? Bring them back 3 at once. It's absolutely fantastic.
Sensational.
But the earliest I drank was about 9 a.m. because they did the gimmick with a continental breakfast and you get the glass of fizz at the same time.
Yeah.
And it would be rude not to. But the very best drink I had over there was a Speedy Gonzales cocktail. It was in one of the really nice just drinks places in one of the villages of Hassanasos. And it was like, it had this big giant ice cube that was like...
Yes, I've seen these before.
So it was like a very sort of... like poncy, like pretentious.
Fills the glass kind of
Fills the glass.
Cube.
It was delicious. Yeah. It had like a lemon rind salt rim and it had the taste of liquor with tequila. But then like just, it was basically an alt margarita.
Very
it was
nice.
Absolutely delicious. So that was tremendous. Drank the Mai Tais. A big, gigantic, tall Mythos as well was drank as well.
Oh, okay. There's like, nothing like a chemically lager in the sun in a frozen glass, is there?
Yes.
It's the best. I put all my pint glasses in the freezer at home when the sun's out. And then at the weekend, I don't care what the lager is. It could be Carling, which for our American listeners is pish.
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
No, there's something about lager in the sun. And Mythos, if you ever, it's like in the dark green can, get it over here. It's the most gassy, like carbonated mess of a lager, but it just works in those in that climate particularly well. So that got drunk.
In the parlance of NXT 2.0, it hits different.
It hits different.
There you go.
The thing about a Mythos is, it's like that. so that was my adventures through the drink. But in terms of my adventures of wrestling while I was in Crete, I watched one full episode of Dynamite bit by bit by bit the first week. Then I saw the lineup for the second, and I'm thinking this has got 7 out of 10 all over it. I wasn't really up for it, quite frankly. And I think a lot of people just thought last week was, it was good. But
it was, it was a table setter.
Yeah. So I watched the first one with like the Stark stuff was just absolutely tremendous. Moxley Roosh was just great. Danielson and Garcia, genuinely kind of a masterpiece for TV. So that was fantastic. I skipped around the statement Raw and thought, all right, okay, this is a decent 7 out of 10 wrestling show. It's not really a statement. And then I didn't really watch SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Just too bloody long. Couldn't be arsed. I saw the MP4s of the forklift stuff for the track, then I thought that's enough.
Yeah, sure.
That is enough.
I get it.
And every now and obviously like on the Friday of my last working day before I went on the 2 week holiday, the news broke that Vince was absolutely gone. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to keep abreast of the situation and all the rest of it. This is all a very long winded preamble into saying that I know nothing about what's happened on NXT 2.0 for 2 weeks, because the only thing that hit my timeline, and again, you know, I don't really follow these massively positive WWE accounts because they're all like either bad faith, performative positivity, all the rest of it. The only thing, Murray, I caught wind of because people were taking the piss out of it on the TL was the Jordan Devlin, JD McDonagh stuff where he was like finger pricking his own blood and signing the contract in his blood. And I think the idea is he's Patrick Bateman, but a wrestler. And the idea is that McDonagh, he's kind of got this like horrible vibe about him as a person. And that's his wrestling character. And the old adage in pro wrestling is that you should be yourself turned up to 11, brother. That way they'll believe you, brother. And maybe that is JD McDonagh, but it's not TV friendly at all. It's I just was so amused. Deeply amused by Bron Breakker trying to like emote and express like either apprehension and or disgust of, if he's willing to make a tiny prick in his finger and feel that pain, what kind of pain is he going to make me feel? Bron, emote your reaction to that. And he just went, ugh. Yeah. It's like, fabulous range, mate. You've got absolutely tremendous range. He's dead.
They're killing. Yeah, if he's not already dead, they're doing a mighty good job of killing this guy by having him get involved in all this spooky nonsense with the druids and all of that bollocks, and he has to like pretend he's, you know, searching through the backstage area for his kidnapped dad, and he's been communicated through wires, all of this pseudo Bray Wyatt stuff, and then you put him in this new world with this just absurd American psycho pastiche that Jordan Devlin is now playing on television. It's such a failure of what wrestling is supposed to be.
Yes.
And the idea that you hide weaknesses and highlight strengths. And they've been doing it for ages. Why does... I mean, what's the need for Bron Breakker, first of all, to wrestle 15-minute main events as he has done, right? That wasn't the Steiner strengths. And his strengths mirror those of his father and his uncle almost to a T. In fact, to a fault, really. He's never going to be that guy who's having these epic matches. And he's never going to be this master actor. He's a meathead. He is an impossibly fun, stupid idiot of a guy. The kind of guy who appeals at his best to my sensibilities immensely. He should go in there, bull rush people, be a jock, be a meathead, drop people on their heads.
Snap them in half with that spear.
Yeah, and he should laugh at twats citing stuff in their blood. It's just so ridiculous. It's patently absurd. You know, for all the things we say about NXT 2.0 in recent weeks or in recent months or whatever, there is an earnest attempt to at least tell stories, right? You watch a segment and you hadn't, before Triple H, you hadn't been able to say this about Raw or SmackDown for a long time, most of the content at least. There are some exceptions, but every segment at least appears to push something forward and like play on character dynamics or change something, or this match doesn't exist just to be a match. There's a reason for it because this person's going up and this person's going down and they hate each other, whatever. But you end up with characters like this that still exist on TV. JD McDonagh, who's going to be the next challenger. Look, he's a very good wrestler, obviously. I'm sure he will do a decent enough job. But the failure of NXT 2.0 to protect Bron Breakker's aura, to maintain the character, to make these misguided attempts at what I think are growth, except it hasn't worked on nope. any single level. It's the kind of stuff you try out before you put on TV. I like Bron Breakker a lot, but I mean, he's kind of dead. You're absolutely right. I'm sure he'll debut on the main roster in a few months or whatever, and he'll get a pop and all of this stuff, and maybe Triple H will do a better job than his old buddy Shawn is right now. But lest we forget, Triple H was the guy who put Karrion Kross, who really is best in short bursts as well, in a 25-minute main event with Keith Lee.
Oh, where it was so boring.
Where they worked chin locks. Like, I don't know if I trust Triple H even more when it comes to preserving guys who are better in 5 than 15 minutes. So here we are.
I can kind of understand their reasoning to a degree if you look at things through their own warped perspective, right? They see Bron Breakker and they see limitations, right? And I understand the scope of his particular appeal is limited. He's not a great actor. He's not a great emoter. He's not someone like a CM Punk, right? Mm-hmm. Who can play heel. He can play babyface. He can tell stories based around limbs. He can do violent bloodbaths. He can almost do everything, right? Bron Breakker is not CM Punk. His range is nowhere near as vast or whatever. At the same time, I grew up watching Scott Steiner, right? First laid eyes on him in 1993, followed him all the way through to 2000 in my life as a child and then a teenage wrestling fan. Even though he couldn't really act, even though he couldn't tell melodramatic stories, even though he wasn't asked to emote, he just killed guys and talked trash. And Murray, I never got bored of Scott Steiner once.
Nope.
In that 7 years of his prime that I caught in real time, I never once got bored of Scott Steiner, right? And he could do the same things that Bron Breakker can't. Mm-hmm. Why can't they just let him be Scott Steiner, like when Scott Steiner's absolutely amazing?
Got a quote that's a personal favourite of both of ours that I'm going to read verbatim.
I love it so much.
You knew exactly what I was going for here. I'm going to read it verbatim because it sums this whole situation up. So the kids go in and they train, and their trainers find what the gaps in their games are, and they try to fill those gaps right up. So you have this perfectly smooth, grey lump of boring trash. Fill in those holes on a wrestler, and there's no way in hell he's filling seats with asses. It's up to us to make people talk, to make them disagree, make them argue. So John Moxley, it's because he can't do shit that he's a good wrestler. That is, of course, Minoru Suzuki talking quite blatantly about the WWE developmental system there and the smooth 6 out of 10 in every department wrestlers that they have created. Like, Theory would be a good example of that. A guy who's quite good at everything and as a result is an extremely uncompelling performer. They are doing the exact same with Bron Breakker, who is a 10 out of 10 at being a big dumb meathead and probably a 3 out of 10 at being an NXT style main event wrestler. And here we are. They're going to turn him in to that smooth, grey lump of boring trash.
I've got a love-hate relationship with that immortal quote because as a writer, I aspire to nail it, to nail it. It's not just a great insult. It's not just so convoluted, but the extra boring just makes it, right? But he makes such an unbelievably salient point that I don't think I've made. Or at least if I have made a point similar to it, I've taken like 3 pages.
Yeah.
And I love it because it's so insightful. And I hate it because I didn't come up with it. And he's not even a writer. Not only is he not a writer, he's immensely skilled at 2 different things that I could never hope to do. And that is being an incredible pro wrestler and a very, very hard MMA fighter. So I love and hate you, Minoru Suzuki. I wish I had the same level of emotion in either direction about any of the content that we are about to cover. As you can tell, I've locked myself out of my goddamn MacBook. right, so...
Oh, boy.
In a rounds match, we're getting Wesley versus Trick Williams, right?
Like they do in the UK.
Like they do in the UK. Yep. Oh, for God's sake, man.
Computer troubles here on the pod.
Yeah, it's a bit of technical difficulty. I had loaded up, right, the actual rules of the match so I could give you a rundown. But unfortunately, I closed the browser. So I'm going to do what... but this is all in good fun because we love Meltzer. But when he does something like this, he just says something like, let me get my notes.
You haven't got any papers to rustle for the full experience here, have we? Is there some across the room?
Let me get my notes. Right, okay. I just love his Valley accent and how it comes out sometimes. Brian just absolutely class.
Getting really upset in the background.
Yeah.
It's a good vibe.
Let me get my notes. Oh, he could be a draw for sure. Sometimes yeah. Meltzer comes out with that and it's absolutely
like
for
he's
sure.
Tiffany Stratton.
Like Tiffany Meltzer. Oh, that'd be a great match for sure. Right, who does a rounds match favour? Trick Williams or Wesley? How about neither of them, right? So the rules, Murray, that we are going to watch tonight or tomorrow morning, unfortunately. 6 3-minute rounds. 20-second break between rounds. Falls can be won by pinfall, submission, or count out. What happens if you just get DQ'd? Is it just over? So we can't actually win the fall?
Yeah.
So you can't win it by disqualification?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Uh-huh. It's weird, this, isn't it? Because they went for the Muhammad Ali photo the other week when Trick knocked him out with the boxing gloves and stood over him. The iconic pose where he's standing up like that. They've kind of borne this situation of the idea of boxing, because Trick has been targeting Wesley, and Wes going to the, hey, like they do in the UK in his promo last week. I think it was something along those lines. So it's a really weird Frankenstein's monster of a situation we find ourselves in.
I can't believe this, like, that it's happening. So I was looking at it, I didn't really pay attention. I was on holiday, goddammit. It's on the NXT.
Come on.
And I was on that.
Best show of the week.
I have to host the preview, so I should probably get a flavour of what I'm talking about here. And I was just... My mind's a little bit boggled why they're doing this match between these two particular wrestlers. Once a fall occurs, the round ends and the match ends when one wrestler has won two falls. Like, surely, right, the absolute best thing about Wesley is he's an incredible high flyer with a very convoluted, in a good way.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A wrestling style who is so good at bringing fans up and up and up and up and up to this like incredibly athletically exhilarating crescendo.
Yeah.
Why would you make him stop?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Why make him stop?
Exactly. He's going to go 3 minutes and then suddenly just going to curb all that momentum. Yeah, it's weird. It's like removing the bollocks. It's quite an interesting pairing. Wesley's obviously extremely good. He's been doing this for ages and ages. Obviously finds himself in the unique situation of his tag team partner being no longer being there after that controversy. And, you know, they were Scarlett and Graves and Dragon Gate and on the indies for years before this. So it's probably a weird situation for him. But the combination of him opposite Trick Williams, who's like this growing prospect, he's very minimal experience, and yet there's clearly something very special about the guy.
He's so good at a promo, man.
He is. He's a really arresting on-screen presence as well. Like, they definitely have something with Trick Williams, I think. Him and Carmelo Hayes are awesome together. So, like, at its core, it's what NXT 2.0 should be. It's why you have Wesley, who is an established pedigree there, is to help guys like Trick Williams along the line. But because it's NXT 2.0 and they can't just do pro wrestling, they've made it really silly, haven't they? So there we go.
They love just ruining things that could be good, which is funny because the idea is to assist things that are good and make them even better by developing them. Cora Jade versus Zoe Stark. Now, I was, you know, the old rub the eyes. What?
Yeah.
Is this bloody AEW by setting up a match and then doing it like 3 weeks later? Because I'm sure this was set up before I went on holiday and they're only getting around to it, which is a bit TK in the old booking. I don't know how they've advanced it. I don't know if there's any sort of real massive intrigue about it, but my understanding is that Cora Jade thought she was going to win the Battle Royal. She went under the bottom rope about 3 weeks ago, and Zoe Stark actually was wise to the trick, the famous WWE trick that never works, and Zoe Stark ended up winning the Battle Royal.
Yep.
And now they're having a match. And I really like Zoe Stark. I do genuinely like Zoe Stark. Her stuff looks really, really impactful. She never loses me. She never gets lost to herself. Like, they've really got something with her. Cora Jade is way more uneven relative to her experience level and can, in fact, get lost. Can she carry her? But can she carry her?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what it's pretty much going to be. So the Zoe Stark, the Battle Royal situation is exactly that. Last week, the week before that. I'm getting lost. The week after the Battle Royale win, Zoe's got this contendership locked up, so she faces Gigi Dolin. It beats her in like 2 minutes, sends a message, all of that. And then last week, Mandy Rose is like, hey, Zoe Stark, can you take care of her, Cora Jade, and all of that. So here we are. It's kind of the A to B to C storytelling that is the kind of thing that we identify and go, good, yep, glad that they're doing that. It's just certain other elements of the product. So, yeah. I think Zoe's looked good since returning. I thought she got a really good reception in that Battle Royale, and she came across well, I think. The Dolin match was relatively straightforward. It's a couple of minutes. What can you do? But it was effective, again, in reaching the point it wanted to reach. And now she is tasked with this heel version of Cora Jade. It's going to be interesting. You'd imagine they'll get a decent chunk here. So it'll probably be the most substantial in-ring we've seen from Cora since she turned on Roxanne Perez. You'd imagine there's going to be lots and lots of bollocks. There's so many outside parties who'll be interested in this. Roxanne Perez, Toxic Attraction, all three of them, of course.
What's Wendy Chu doing? That's the answer I've been asking myself all day long.
She's been having nightmares, baby. She had a segment, it was either last week or the week before, where she was having terrible nightmares about Tiffany. So I can't even remember if that
maybe
was
maybe she should stop napping then.
Yeah, stop napping and start tapping people out.
Yes.
There you go. Wendy Chu, reborn as a submission expert.
Maybe she should stop napping. Yeah, I'm not really bothered about this match, so I'm going to move swiftly on to Nikita Lyons versus Kiana James. Nikita Lyons, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Nikita Lyons. She's really young as well. She's like 23 or something.
Yes, yeah, so I went to school with Jungle Boy, didn't she?
That's right, that's right. And it's quite interesting because she was in WOW before this, like a few years ago. So she's been at the wrestling game for quite a while, actually.
Yeah, so it is her birthday.
Yep.
And WWE NXT's official Twitter account wished her a happy birthday. We don't really, we're like serious guys on these podcasts. We don't really do voices and funny games.
Never.
But would you like to play a game?
Yeah, let's play a game.
Okay, so it was Nikita Lyons' birthday, right?
Yeah.
As, you know, mentioned and congratulate people on a birthday. Just well wishes extended to Lyons on Twitter, right? Can you guess the same joke that about 80 very thirsty men said in the replies?
Nice birthday balloons there.
No, but that's
funny. That's the kind of stuff those perverts.
Hey, I like
would
your birthday balloons, baby.
There you go, man. Bruce Pritchard probably said that already. Perverts.
I like the idea of birthday balloons because the idea is that that's code for like titties.
Yeah, and these people are all sexist.
Tiggle bitties.
Thirsty boys, yeah.
Tiggle bitties. Right?
Scumbags.
You got the wrong... You've objectified the wrong body part, Murray, right? Because about 80 people all made the same joke. And the best thing is that obviously reading the replies and think, oh, maybe they'll think I got there first. You're the one who's bringing the cake. Don't need to give you a cake.
Oh, Jesus!
You don't need a cake. You've already got a cake.
Oh, God. I hated the birthday balloons idea in the first place. But
we are doing it in the voice of of the perverts. Everyone knows.
The freaks that are out there. And I cannot imagine what it's like to exist as a woman online.
Just in general.
In general, yeah. But especially online, where everyone sucks, apart from our listeners.
Indeed. Apart from everyone. Except the exact amount of listeners listening to this.
Don't tell your friends about this podcast. It's only you.
So Nikita Lyons versus Kiana James is a match between two green women. And I don't expect it to go very long. And it's all a bit males in the writing room, which is a problem that extends to literally every single major pro wrestling promotion. And I include AEW in that. Because Kiana James is doing this big PowerPoint presentation where she's like, you know, she dresses naughty and she doesn't really care about wrestling. She just flaunts her body. And has there been any angle updates on this?
Nah, it's just, you know, we all know what this is. It's whoever wrote this material's attempt at going, haha, look at those prudes who don't like NXT 2.0. Look at these prudes criticizing us for the sexualization of women on our show. We're going to create a character like just like them so that symbolically in a couple of weeks, Nikita Lyons can kick their ass because we are right and those virgins are wrong. That's exactly what it is. It's the right to censor.
So like, you say they're going to have their cake and eat it too?
They are going to pop the balloon, I'm afraid. The balloon of your enthusiasm. Yep.
It's probably not going to be very good, is it?
No, I mean, it'll be calibrated so that Nikita can do some of her cool-looking kicks and stuff.
I do like her kicks.
Yeah, the kicks are good. And, like, she's in the tag team tournament with Zoe Stark, isn't she? So I guess they'll probably hype that and go, remember Nikita Lyons after this stunning victory? Hell idea.
Why is it Mauro Ranallo?
I don't know. Nikita Lyons like Tom Morello plucking the strings as she rages against the machine. Shout out tomorrow. I've got a hell booking idea. What if, to symbolize that her and Zoe Stark are a tag team now, what if two singles matches become a tag team match? You could see that happening, couldn't you?
Not in Triple H's WWE, mate.
Oh no, even never.
You would never do this, even though Black and Gold was pretty much... What was it? Lanza called it Yellow Raw.
Yellow Raw. It was like Warhammer, but Raw. Rawhammer.
Rawhammer.
Yeah, there you go. Rawhammer 40K. Because it was just grim dark. There's orcs flying around. Triple H is trying to consume everything. I didn't like Black and Gold NXT. Not the last 2 years. So no, that's the message I'm trying to say.
It was pretty rubbish.
Yeah, and, it was not good. It was good in 2015.
That's no, it.
Earnestly, 2015, 2016, I personally kind of started losing a little bit of investment around the time of like Bobby Roode and Shinsuke at the top. That feud didn't do a whole lot for me, but like you can't mess with those like 1 hour performance center, Pac, Neville, Kevin Owens. You're seeing like Bayley, Sasha, Charlotte, Becky coming of age. You're seeing like novelty acts like Enzo, like experiments like Bullfit, which didn't take, but it's still fun to watch isn't it? And then after a few weeks go, oh yeah, this kind of sucks.
My prevailing take on NXT, and I've parroted it because it's a good take, is that it was always so much better when it was like nice,
yeah,
as opposed to like desperately searching for critical acclaim and
Slipknot.
Just
not
just like, I like 40 minute matches and all the rest of it, like when it was just nice, like American Alpha and Bayley and Sami Zayn. It was just like, all right, this is what it's like to be a wrestling fan, to go on these journeys with these baby faces.
It was like quite in keeping. Like, it's like ridiculous to think of now, but it was actually quite in keeping with the old studio shows of yore, like in terms of how
it's
it advanced.
Dusty influence?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. And like interviews on the ramp and all of this stuff and like really simple storylines that just make sense and you feel happy when the good guys win. And
yes.
Stuff. Yeah, I like to feel happy when I'm watching my wrestling.
Yes, it's weird that.
It's good vibe, yeah.
And right, but speaking of happy, Wilborn would be happy for this because I reckon if he was here, and unfortunately for you, he is not, he would write out the potential script for the Tony D'Angelo and Santos Escobar one-on-one accord. Drop the thing you said in the office because it's perfect.
I can't even remember.
Did Chris Jericho name this segment?
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. It's like the Inner Circle Town Hall Meeting Summit of the Accord.
Parley.
Yeah, parley.
Team
there you go.
Meeting and attendance is mandatory.
Team Meeting Debonair featuring Eric Bischoff. Like,
oh, God, I know.
Yes, this is going to be a cinematic recreation of a scene from The Sopranos, isn't it? It's going to be like when they're hanging out in Johnny Sack's garden and the FBI raid them. That's what it's going to be like, except it's just the two of them.
Or like in Heat or something.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to be in a cafe? Or it's like, put on a public place, so, you know.
They're outside Satriali's.
Yeah.
Tony D is sitting there sunning his face like, rest in peace to the great man, Polly Walnuts.
Indeed. I reckon they'll be in a cafe where it's like, okay, no funny business, we're in public here. Why would they just have a fight?
Yeah.
I don't understand you got to promote your fight, right? But do that with like a war of words.
Yeah.
Trash talk in the ring. I'm going to beat you for this reason. No, I'm going to beat you for this reason. I'm going to articulate it in my own voice. This is what the match means to me. I'm going to do this after this match. No, it has to be an accord in Satrials.
Do we think that Tony D'Angelo is long for this world? Like, not him as a performer. Like, I'm sure the guy behind this gimmick has potential that they can use elsewhere. Like, I would never call for a wrestler's job. That's absurd. But, like, this character, because, like, the reports are that Triple H will adjust. Like, the whole point of 2.0 was to facilitate an easier transition from developmental to main roster. So it kind of made sense that it was bigger, dumber, and painted in broader strokes.
And Vince-friendly, yeah.
Yeah, that's what Vince purveys on the main roster. So it kind of made sense for whatever your opinions on Black and Gold, but now Triple H is back. That doesn't make sense because it's going to be at odds with what he's going to try to do on the main roster. And now we have this report that he will go back to like signing some experienced names and mix them in with the athletes that they're going to create from the ground up, which I think is a smart combination. Do we think that Tony D'Angelo might be a casualty of this, like in terms of the character again, not the man, because this gimmick is so stupid? And we all appreciate the novelty of it. We all sit there in the office and go, oh! And, that's why you have the intro, right? That's why you have all that stuff. And we all have fun with it and whatever. But, like, he's not a very good wrestler. And he is exactly the kind of act that I would look at, that I would expect Triple H to look at and go, this is not great. Cancel this. Go train a bit and then we'll bring you back and do something else.
Yeah, we'll sort of put you to one side, think of something else to do with you, just hang tight doing your move forward with your left foot classes. Yeah, I really can't see Tony D existing on Triple H's main roster, which increasingly is becoming non-more Triple H, with like your Dexter Loomises, your Gargano teasers, like Ciampa's kind of the new face of Raw, Cross is the new face of SmackDown. Like, it's Black and Gold Raw. Basically, what's happening now. And this is absolutely not Black and Gold stuff. I don't know what he would do. Maybe just be a guy in trunks and kick pads, funnily enough.
Yeah. And it's weird because he clearly has like a bit of performance ability about him. Like, he wouldn't be able to like stand there and do this silly character if he wasn't like at least a broadly fun, charismatic guy.
Yeah.
So you can probably find, he's clearly got some personality. You can probably find something.
The thing is, he can play an Italian-American dude who's got funny trash talk and like a quotable quip or two, like indirectly influenced by mob movies without like
being the, yeah,
being an actual mob boss who kills people off screen.
Yeah, a crayon drawing version of Tony Soprano.
Yeah. He could basically just be himself, but very much scaled down without, again, killing people in character.
Yeah, and like recruiting people to his mob who inexplicably stay with him, and then their mate comes back and now their allegiance is flipped. It's just, how do you...
It's just so
why am I earnestly bad. Doing?
I don't know. I think this? We spent too long. Have we cleared the 20-minute mark?
We're half an hour in, baby.
Oh, Jesus Christ, right?
we get 5 minutes of cocktail talk at the beginning?
Yeah. Is this cynicism warranted, guys? I'm trying to do the out segue, mate. Sorry. Is this cynicism warranted, guys? Let us know underneath the Twitter link to this podcast at WhatCultureWWE. Whilst you're there, you can follow Andy Murray at...
Hey, I'm a Andy Murray. Yes, you can. I messed that up. You can follow me at Andy H. Burry. The H stands for, hey, I'm a basic cocktail guy. I like a whiskey sour. There
I like a whiskey sour. I had a couple, but they, again.
It's a potent brew.
Better off going for like your fruitier deals
definitely.
Than your hard liquor deals. Definitely. There was like a massive discrepancy in how the cocktails were made depending on the actual member of staff. Some would really put the effort in, put the orange peel on the Mai Tai. Someone just like clearly at the end of his shift just put in the rum, put in like this mixture, didn't stir it and just went boom, there you go. I just got the thing in front of him, just stirred it. So I do myself to it.
Lean over the bar, get the shaker, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me at M. Sidgwick. If you missed the Raw review, genuinely quite positive in contrast to this.
Yeah.
If you're sick of our voices, if you're sick of our voices, listen to them again on the Raw review because we were positive about it.
And you can listen to us tomorrow and then again on Thursday because we're here all week, baby, apart from Friday when we have a day off. Thank you, new bosses.
Thank you, new bosses. Thank you very much for that. So, yeah, stick around on Wednesday and Thursday for that. I'm sure we'll manage something on the Friday. Maybe not, if we're being perfectly honest. But until then, thank you for joining us. Sorry for being grumps. We'll see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.